I mentioned a few minutes ago in the announcements, I've entitled my sermon, both of them, this morning and tonight, Four Things to Remember. Four Things to Remember. So this is part one, and part two will be tonight. You know, our memories are an unusual thing. Sometimes I can remember what happened years ago just as clearly as it happened yesterday. I mean, I can remember the details of the event. I can remember who was in the room. I can remember what they said. I can even remember smells in my memory, how things smelled at certain times, things that happened years ago. But sometimes I can't remember what happened last Thursday. Sometimes I can't remember what happened yesterday. I've had people on Monday say, "Preacher, what'd you preach about yesterday?" And I'd have to sputter for a while because I couldn't remember what I preached about yesterday. So memory is an unusual thing. Now, the medical field tells us that memory is a series of electronic impulses in our brains. And so our memories are recorded by little electrons going back and forth in our brains. And sometimes when people get a bump on their head, they lose their memories. They call it amnesia. Sometimes it's permanent and sometimes it's just temporary, but memories are a powerful thing. I mean, I dare say that all of us, if I challenged you and gave you the time to do it, I don't want you to do it right now, I want you to listen, but if I challenge you, think about a memory that made you happy. You could remember something where your life was just filled with joy and you could relive that happiness as you recalled that memory. I could also challenge you to remember something that was sad, that caused a hurt, that was a hurt in your life, a loss in your life. And I dare say everybody here could remember something that caused you to weep. And as you thought about that memory, tears might come again to your eyes as you remember that. And so memory is important. Memory is mentioned in the Bible a lot. The thief on the cross pleaded with Christ, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Abraham, when he was speaking to the rich man that went to hell as Lazarus lied in his bosom, said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things." So memory is part of the Bible. The preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes gave this advice: "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." And so a large part of our life is dependent on being able to remember, being able to recall what's stored in our memory banks. And it's sad when a person, either through sickness or through age or through disease, can't remember people, can't remember how to do things, can't remember past events. And so this morning, I have a real simple message. I want to give you this morning three things that every one of us ought to remember. Three things that we ought to go into our memory banks often, bring to the top of those memory banks, and think about those things as we remember them. So here we go. Number one, remember what God has done for you. Remember, think about, call back to the thinking part of your mind, things from your memories, what God has done for you. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, the Bible says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you." So Samuel was preaching to the nation of Israel. He was trying to get them to recall some of the things that God had done for them. You know, the nation of Israel was God's chosen people. He chose them of all the people of the earth, not because they were the biggest, not because they were the best, but because he loved them. He chose them for his own people. And he did some great and mighty things for his people, the nation of Israel. He brought them out of slavery in Egypt. with 10 different miracles that he worked on Pharaoh and the land of Egypt. He freed them from slavery. When the Egyptian army, when Pharaoh changed his mind and sent the army after the Israelites to bring them back, and they were trapped between the mountains and the Red Sea, God did something else great for him. He parted that Red Sea. The waters parted from one another and the ground became dry, and they walked through that Red Sea on dry ground. When Pharaoh's army followed them in, the waters came back together and they were all drowned. What a wonderful thing that God did for his people. As they went through the wilderness, every day they had God, and every night they had God's guidance. By day he led them by a cloud. By night he led them by a pillar of fire. And again, I think it was more than just guidance. I think as they traveled through that wilderness, that cloud was big enough to provide them shade and keep them cool. And if they had to travel at night, as sometimes they did, that pillar of fire was big enough to keep them warm as they walked through the desert cool nights. And so God did some great things for his people by providing leadership as he led them through the wilderness. He fed them every single day with manna from heaven. He gave them water to drink. Now, I know sometimes they complained, and sometimes, you know, the water wasn't readily available, but God worked a miracle. He brought it out of rocks. He made bitter water sweet by having Moses cast a tree into it. And every day that they were in the wilderness, they had no Kroger to go to. They had no Meijer to go to. They had no crops to pick that they had planted. Every day, in a miraculous way, God fed his people and gave them water to drink and protected them. Then he brought them to the land of Canaan. They went into the land of Canaan. He gave them victory after victory. He had told them, he told Joshua, hey, I'm not going to drive out the people all at once. The land will overcome you. I'm going to drive them out a little bit at a time so you can go in and establish yourself. And that's what he did. He drove out the people that possessed the land a little bit at a time. He brought his people in. They lived in cities that they did not build. They drank from wells that they did not dig. They ate from fields that they did not plant. And God blessed his people over and over and over again. He gave them prophets to direct them. He gave them kings to lead them. And yet, the nation of Israel kept turning away from God. They kept worshiping the idols of the people that they had destroyed. I mean, it's strange. Why would you worship a God that couldn't keep you in your land? Why would you worship a God that couldn't help you from a conquering people? And yet the Israelites turned to those gods. They began to worship those gods. They forgot the law of God. They forgot his instructions. And they disobeyed, turned away from their God, even after they could look back and see all the wonderful things that God had done for them. In the book of Psalm 106, the Bible says, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. What Samuel was telling Israel and what the psalmist was telling Israel was the same thing. Don't forget God. Remember him and remember all the things that he's done for you. He's the Lord. Hold him in fear, awe, and respect. He's the Lord. Serve him in truth with all your heart. He's the Lord. Stay loyal to him. Stay obedient to him, remembering all the things that he's done for you. That was Samuel's message to Israel. That was the psalmist's message to Israel. That's my message for you today. Don't forget. Don't forget what God's done for you. In fact, remember, call back to mind, think about it often, everything that God has done for you. Let me just remind you some of the things he has done for you. You are here today because God wanted you here. I'm not talking about in this place at this particular time. I'm talking about your life. You are on the face of this earth today because God willed it. We had a funeral for Lorraine Morris's son who passed away this past Monday. We had the funeral on Thursday. And always in the message that I preach on the funeral, I remind people that we were made by God just as much as he made Adam and Eve. And I know when I say that, people say, no, preacher, I was not made by God. I was born. I have a mom and dad. I'm here because of them. And I always say, you would not be here unless God wanted you here. He may not have formed you out of the dust of the ground by like he did Adam and formed you out of the rib and the flesh that God took from Adam to make Eve. Your creation, your coming into being may not have been that from the dirt and from the rib, but you would not be here unless God wanted you here. He used your mom and dad, but don't think for a second you would have life or you would have existence if not for the will of God. He gave you life. He let you be born in the United States of America. He let you be born in this country. I know our country's not perfect. I know we have some problems. I think it's still the greatest place on earth to live. I think it's still the greatest place on earth to give people the freedom to worship the way they want to worship, to speak their peace. I know those freedoms are being attacked. But God, it was God's grace, it was God's goodness that let you be born an American. A place where you can hear the gospel. A place where you can get saved. The vast majority, if not every single person here this morning, and I know most of you, I'm getting to know some of you better, but I know most of you. If not all of us, then the vast majority of us that are here this morning are saved. We're on our way to heaven. Our sins have been forgiven. We are a child of God. Now look, we didn't deserve that. There was nothing about us, just like there was nothing about Israel that deserved God picking them for their chosen people. He did it because he loved them. There's nothing about us that deserved the salvation of God. There's nothing about us that deserved God forgiving our sins. He did it because he loved us. For God so loved the world. For God so loved you. For God so loved me that he sent his son to pay for my wicked sins. Jesus was perfect in all points, tempted in all points, like as we yet without sin. And yet God, in his divine wisdom, according to his divine plan, sent his son to die in my place. Now, I could forget all the other things that God has done for me. I could say none of the other things matter. I don't need to move beyond salvation to find something that I can praise God for every single moment of my life. He did something good for every single one of us when he saved us from the penalty of our sin. Our sin. We sang that song. My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. That's why it's well with my soul. Because my sins are forgiven. Don't forget the good things that God has done for you. You're saved this morning because what God did for you. Your sins are forgiven this morning because what God did for you. You're on your way to heaven this morning because of what God did for you. And if you're here this morning and none of those things are true about you, you're not saved, your sins are not forgiven, you're not on your way to heaven, you can take it this morning. It's a gift that God offers to every person. All you got to do is take it. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Don't walk out of this place this morning without having your sins forgiven, without knowing you're saved, without knowing you're on your way to heaven. That's what God wants you to know. You can know it. You can have it if you take it. He gave you your family. Your spouse is a gift from God. Some of you ought to say amen to that. Your spouse is a gift from God. I look at some of you guys, you don't deserve the women that God gave you. I'm not going to look at anybody in particular right now because I don't want to. You don't deserve the women that God gave you. It was a gift. I'm not going to say anything to the ladies. It was a gift. Your children are a gift from God. Your grandchildren are a gift. You think any of us deserve the grandchildren that God's given us? No. They are a pure gift from him. And those that are old enough like me, your great-grandchildren. I didn't I wasn't a great-grandpa until I got married. Then I instantaneously became a great-grandpa three, now going on four times. They're a gift from God. A gift from Him. In fact, every good thing in your life is a gift from Him. Every good thing. The Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father. Everything. Say, how can I remember what God's done for me? Look around. Just look around. Look around. Look to where you're going. Look to heaven. That's how you remember what God did for you. Everything that's in your life is a gift from Him. And yet, how often we forget, how often we take God for granted, how often we fail to remember what God has done for us. By the way, that's why we have the Lord's Supper once a month. That's why we take that little piece of bread and that little glass of juice and we pass it and we talk about what Jesus did for us on Calvary. That's why we do it, so we can remember the price that was paid for our salvation. That's why we have testimonies on Sunday night and Wednesday night, because we want to remind each other. We want to challenge each other to remember the good things that God is done in our life. And I think it's a good practice for every Christian to pause several times a day and say, thank you, Lord, for the good things you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for the good things you brought into my life. I don't deserve them. I know I don't deserve them. But I know they come into my life because you love me. Thank you, Lord, for those things. So remember what God has done for you. Then number two, remember God's word. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Psalm 138, verse 2, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God's given us a book. This is his word. Not only tells us how much he loves us, it reminds us of everything that he has done for us, and it also tells us how to live. It tells us how to get the most out of life. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the kind of person that just skims the surface. The Bible says that we ought to dwell deep. We ought to dwell deep in the love of God. We ought to dwell, live. We ought to live deep in the Word of God. We ought to dwell deep in the things that God wants us to dwell deep in. That's how we ought, as Christians, ought to live our life. When I go to a place that is an all-you-can-eat place, I like to eat all I can eat. I mean, if it says, eat all you want, eat all you can, I want to eat all I want and all I can. I mean, I don't want to go to a place like that and not enjoy everything that they want me to enjoy. When I get a car, some of you know my history with cars. I mean, I used to get a new car from the job that I have, but since I retired, I buy cars and I drive them till they quit. You say, well, why did you trade your Saturn? Because my Saturn, the dashboard was lit up like a Christmas tree. Every warning light in that car was on. And I decided rather than try to fix it, I'd just get a new one. I've taken a lot of harassment about my little spark out there. Who was it? Somebody came in last week. I can't even remember who it was now. Said, hey, there was, oh, I know who it was. I'm not going to mention his name. He's not here this morning. He said, I ran over something crunchy in the parking lot. It's red. And it took me for a minute to figure out he was talking about my car. I want you to know, I'm going to drive that car till the wheels fall off. I mean, I want to get my money's worth out of it. I got a phone. I want to know how everything works on that phone. I haven't mastered it yet. I'm still working on it. But I want to know how everything works on that phone. If there's something on that phone that, you know, the designer of that phone thought would be good for me to use, then I want to use it. I want to enjoy everything that's there. I want to enjoy the things that God has put before me, and I'm going to enjoy it. I mean, at the funeral on Thursday, somebody made a cherry pie. Somebody made a chocolate cake. Somebody made some cookies. I tried them all. We had the widow and widower's banquet a few weeks ago. Banana pudding. What else we have?
Peach cobbler. Cherry cobbler.
I tried them all. Yeah, I didn't want to miss nothing. And the same thing is true when it comes to the things of God. We ought to take the same attitude toward the life that God wants us to have. I don't want to miss anything that God intended for me to have. He said, I want you to have life. I've come to give you life. Talking about eternal life. But then he said, and that you might have it more abundantly. That's the kind of life God wants us to have. He wants us to be saved and have the eternal life that the Bible tells us about. But he wants us to enjoy the life that we live on this earth. Now, you won't find how to do that in a book written by man. You won't find how to do it. There's lots of books that are out there that'll try to tell you how to enjoy life, how to have a rich life, how to have a full life. But they all fall short. The only book that'll tell you how to have a rich, full, abundant life is the book written by the one that made you. The book written by God. In this book, we have instructions. And if we follow those instructions, God promises us we will have that abundant life. I think we ought to pause several times a day. And we ought to remember what God has done for us. And we ought to thank him for what he's done for us. And we ought to thank him for the Bible. We ought to thank him for his word. We ought to thank him for what it contains. Psalm 119, 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Seven times a day. So remember what God's done for you. Remember his word. And then number three, remember what others have done for you. Proverbs 27, verse 10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Remember the good things. Remember the blessings that other people have been to you. I was talking to a lady in our church a few weeks ago, and she's undergone some difficulties of late. And she was telling me about one of her friends. She said, Pastor, I just can't tell you what this person has done for me. Just about every need I've had the past 3 months, this person has had a hand in meeting that need. And I've thanked her and thanked her and thanked her. And I'll never ever forget what she's done for me. That's the way it ought to be. I got a note this week from a young man that I've never met. His dad was the pastor of the church where my mom and dad were members. He was actually the pastor of the church when my younger brother got married. He and I did the ceremony together when my younger brother David got married. And his son sent me a note and said, hey, my dad's getting old. He's reminiscing about the old days. And he was talking about your mom and dad. And I was wondering if you could just call him and let them know if they're still alive and what's going on. And so I called him last night, and we talked on the phone for about 45 minutes, and he asked me a bunch of questions about the people that went to that church, and I told him as best I could and reminisced with him about the people. He said, you know, it was probably one of the best pastorates I've ever had. He stayed at the church for 6 years. He said the people were so kind and the people were so good. And I just wanted to remember. Of course, I knew what I was preaching about this morning, and I took it as a sign from God. Said, hey, people need to remember what other people have done for them. And that's what we ought to do. I remember when our house burned down. The whole thing just burned down. The only thing that was left was a cast iron stove, and some of you were there and saw it. Cast iron stove and a harp that came out of the piano. We had a big hound dog named Sherlock at that time. Of course, when the house burned, we didn't have a place to keep the dog. And I remember Brother Clint and Wanda saying, and I'm sure Sam and Chris had a part of it too, but I'll give Clint and Wanda the credit because I don't want to let it go to these two heads. But I remember Clint and Wanda come over and said, "Hey, preacher, we'll watch your dog for you." And they kept it for months and months. They probably wondered if we were ever going to come and get it back. But I'll never forget that. Never forget it. I don't have time. I could go up and down the aisles, and I can mention things that the kindnesses that you have shown to me as a people. I mean, I could just go up and down the aisles, and I could tell you different things about what different people, the love that they've shown to me and things that they've done. We ought never to forget those things. You see, you have people in your life that have been kind to you, that have done things for you in your time of need that you ought never to forget. And as we remember what God has done for us, and as we remember and praise Him for the word that He's given us, we ought to think about those people that God has put in our life that have blessed us, that have blessed us. So remember, don't forget. Remember what He's done for you. Remember this book. And remember the people that God's put in your life and the goodness they've done for you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this reminder this morning about the things that we should remember. You've been such a good God to us. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that you brought into our life. And Father, I pray if there's even just one person here this morning that doesn't know they're saved, doesn't know they're on their way to heaven, that they'll claim that gift that you offer to all people. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you. It tells us how to have that abundant life. And then, Father, thank you. Thank you for the many, many, many good people that you put in our life that have been kind to us, for the good things they've done. Help us never to forget, to always be thankful. And so I pray you bless this time of invitation. I pray, Holy Spirit, you speak to our hearts. If there's decisions that we need to make this morning, help us to make them. If there's things that we need to get out of our life or things that we need to get into our life, be clear in your instruction to us and help us to be obedient. Just bless this time of invitation. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.